I am so excited to preach today. I can hardly contain myself. I feel such a well of God's goodness. Turn with me to Deuteronomy 16. Scott said we'd read it enough. I don't agree. Oh, these verses are so rich. And God is so amazing in all of his love to give us such beautiful teaching and such beautiful holidays to come together and remember the things that he has memorialized and to give us these teachings. And I want to pick it up in Deuteronomy 16, verse 15 today, where it says, 7 days you shall keep a sacred feast to the Lord your God in the place which the Lord chooses, because the Lord, and that is Yahweh, your God, will bless you in all your produce, and in all the work of your hands, so that you shall surely rejoice. Now, I just want you to, again, focus on that, because the Lord your God will bless you. Not maybe, not might, because he wills to bless you. And I want you to think about this today, because we are coming to the end. So, he will bless you in all the work of your hands. 3 times in a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God in the place which he chooses, at the Feast of Unleavened Bread, at the Feast of Weeks, and at the Feast of Tabernacles, and they shall not appear before the Lord empty-handed. So 3 times you're to show up at these 3 feasts, you're to come bearing offerings. And notice, nobody shows up empty-handed. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessing, the Lord your God, which he has given you. So he says you're going to rejoice because he's going to bless you. And then he says, and you're going to give from the blessing that I gave you. Now, if you just stopped right here and said, this is it. This is what life is. This is what this 8th day, this new beginning is all about. It's to receive the blessing of the Lord in all your work, that you could not be empty-handed, but that you could come and bring offerings as God has blessed you. And you think of what life is. It is all in this, that God is producing increase in your life, in my life, in the lives of those he has made, because he wants people to receive of his blessing, and not just from him directly. He wants us to share blessings together. And hasn't it been wonderful to share blessings this feast, to come together and to have fellowship, to have rejoicing, to worship? I dreamed a dream one day we would have a feast like this, where there would be a time when people wouldn't care where they were, and they would just come and want to worship God, and they knew if they were in the place where God was being met with, that that would be what the feast would be, to worship for 8 days, to celebrate for 8 days, to rejoice for 8 days, to fellowship for 8 days, because God is worthy of all the glory, the honor, and the praise that we can give him. And he is so good to us. He is so rich and generous. And he is so saying, I'm going to bless you, and you're going to be able to give because I blessed you. And my friends, there is no one that can stop it from happening if you come to God, if you put your life into God's hands. There is no one, nothing. Let's turn to Romans 8. Romans 8, these powerful verses. Nothing. We sang it. We sang unstoppable, right? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? Who can stop the increase of God? When you realize who God is, there's no one, nothing that can stop the blessing of God in your life. And when we realize the power of this message and what God is revealing, that the Lord your God will bless you in your produce, and the Lord your God will bless you in the work of your hands, and you won't be empty. And you will give according to that blessing that he gives you. You realize, guys, it's already been laid out. He knew the end from the beginning. He is the Alpha and the Omega. Christ is the author and the finisher of our faith. This isn't into doubt. It's just about faith. Will we work the works of God and believe in him who purposes to bless us in our lives? And he says here in Romans chapter 8, notice with me here, verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Unstoppable God. Where is the darkness where his light can't cast it out? Where is the desert where his rain can't bring life and vibrancy again? Where is the place where he can't make increase to grow? Where is the place? Who can stop him? You see, when God says, I'm going to bless you, and you say, I desire to be blessed, it becomes an absolute reality by faith. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. You were called to be blessed. You were called to receive blessing. And you were called to give that blessing. And my friends, as you and I yield to the Lord God and to the work he is doing, there is nothing that can stop him from doing it. Nothing. Nothing will get in his way from what he planned from the beginning and that he is bringing to an end. You heard the children say it when they all stood on the stage out of the mouths of babes, that the work that he has begun in you, he is faithful to complete it. This day is a celebration of a completion of a work that God determined to do through his Son, Jesus the Christ. And he has been having us celebrate year after year that we never forget that we have a God who purposed such things. That he made all things through his Son, Jesus Christ. That he made things seen and unseen by him. We celebrate every Sabbath that our Father created all things through Christ. We celebrate it each week. We remember he chose him to do it. And in him, all things consist. He is before all things. And he is the head of all things. And we remember in Passover, he is the Savior. He's the Lamb of God whose blood was shed to just make that redemption possible. Unleavened bread. He's the resurrection and the life. He's the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes except through him. The resurrected Lord and Savior, the one who entered into the Holy of Holies. And he is the one from the Holy of Holies that sends the Holy Spirit. That prayed the Father, he said, and he said, I will send the Spirit. I'm not going to leave you orphans. In fact, we became his by the sending of the Spirit. And if the Spirit of Christ is in you, you're his. And he said, he will come with a shout, with the voice of an archangel and the trumpet of God. He will be our King of kings and Lord of lords. For the kingdoms of this world will become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. And he will reign forever and ever. And we celebrated that at trumpets. And we celebrated that he is our high priest. That he brings healing. He is our healer. He restores things. He puts things back into order. And we remembered that there's no one greater. That he came to baptize, not with water like John was. He said, no, he who comes after, he baptizes in the Spirit and the fire. And he brings Spirit and fire to everyone's life. Everyone. And what it reveals and what it brings out, the good, the bad, and your life is determined on that. As Scott was speaking and just realizing our lives, God, what an honor it is to know you now. What an honor it is to be called to be a first fruit, to come into the first resurrection. And what a blessing it is that we can bring of the things we've received to someone else, that they too would be a first fruit, that they too would come to Christ now. And then he brings to an end. And that's what we're going to talk about here today. But notice this. He says in Romans 8, he says, if God is for us, verse 31, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all. How shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Is that blessing? That he wants to give you all things? What is it that you need? What is it that you're lacking? And he says, verse 35, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Is it tribulation? Is it distress? Is it persecution? Is it famine or nakedness or peril or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life. Those are big things. nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other created thing shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Nothing. What stands in the way of God? Is God able to bless you? Are these things going to knock it out of the way? Are they going to take away the love of Christ in your life? Are they going to take away from where God has you headed, from God bringing you to the end? You see, my friends, the question that is here is, will we believe? Will we believe in the work that he's doing? Will we accept and receive of the things he's doing, the humility to receive of what God is working in our lives? Now, in the reading, we read that there are these three times in a year that you shall appear before the Lord, and every man shall give as he is able. Now, we're going to look at some of these things. If you would just turn over with me very quickly to Exodus chapter 23. In Exodus chapter 23, it talks about these same three feasts as it does in Deuteronomy 16. But I want you to notice in Exodus chapter 23 and in verse 14, it says, three times you shall keep a feast to me in the year. The feast of unleavened bread, you shall eat unleavened bread 7 days as I commanded. And then dropping down to verse 16, and the feast of harvest and the first fruits of your labors, which you have sown in the field, and the feast of ingathering at the end of the year, when you've gathered in the fruit of your labors from the field 3 times in a year, all your males shall appear before the Lord your God. So you see these 3 times are very specifically tied to the feast. You start harvesting in unleavened bread. You finish that first harvest, the spring harvest, at Pentecost time, at the feast of first fruits and the feast of harvest. And then you have this end time, this feast of ingathering, known as the Feast of Tabernacles, when all this produce comes in. And God is saying, you're going to do this. And this is the year. This is the whole year of what God is doing, the harvest year that he's bringing forward. Now look in Exodus chapter 34, because he says again, and I want us to take note of it, starting here in Exodus 34 and verse 18. So the Feast of Unleavened Bread you shall keep 7 days. You shall eat unleavened bread. And then notice he says, verse 22, you shall observe the Feast of Weeks and the Feast of the Wheat Harvest and the Feast of Ingathering at the year's end. 3 times in the year, all your men shall appear before the Lord, the God of Israel. 3 times according to this harvest. So when we think about the harvest and what God is bringing forth, and we think about these times, the beginning of the harvest during the year, the ending of the first part of the harvest, that grain harvest, and then we think about the fruit and all the ingathering at the end. God has put this in his word, and what he's doing is being very intimate with us about the things that he's bringing about. Now notice with me here as we look at these and consider this time of harvest in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, and notice in verse 20, it says, but now Christ is risen from the dead, and he has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. It was during the days of unleavened bread that the first fruits were offered before the Lord per his command in Leviticus 23. And it was by his command that Jesus was resurrected from the dead after 3 days and 3 nights. Just like he said, he died on Passover and fulfilled that. He was resurrected and then was offered before the Lord. He became the first fruits from the dead. And notice verse 21. So by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even in Christ shall all be made alive, but each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterwards those who are Christ at his coming. And then comes the end, when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and authority and power. He brings to an end 3 times in the year. 3 times. Jesus, the first fruits. Then the first fruits that end the first harvest. And then the end, when he puts an end to all rule and authority. As Scott spent time to preach so beautifully yesterday, the bringing in of the harvest 3 times. And what God is sharing with us is something so beautiful in this. See, those words, you shall appear before me, they appear in several places in the scripture. And the Sopharim, who were scribes that kept the Bible, they notated that when they were translating this, they were softening the phrase. Because the phrase literally means, three times in a year, you shall see the face of God. And seeing the face of God doesn't seem to match with what Exodus 33:20 says, that no man shall see me and live. But what God was playing out in the commanding of these feasts and the commanding of us to come three times in a year and to see his face and to come not empty, but with the blessing that God had given us to be able to give back to the Lord, is exactly what we celebrate when we gather here today. The ending, the bringing forth of an offering. Because more than money, Deuteronomy 16 is speaking of the offering of you. That you who have been blessed by God, that you who have received the riches of his grace, that you have received the power of the Holy Spirit, that you who have been redeemed, have repented from sin, that you who know the laying on of hands and the power of the resurrection of Christ, that you are the offering, you are the harvest, you are the ones that will stand before God and come before him to see his face. If you will turn with me over to Psalm 42. Psalm 42, and all these verses I have up here now are places where this phrase was softened. But notice with me in Psalm chapter 42, and most of these places that it's been changed regarding the feast, but I want you to notice just three places with me very quickly, because what you find when you search this phrase out in the Old Testament is that the phrase basically has to do with coming before God for his feasts or coming before God at another time. That is taught about here, beginning in Psalm chapter 42. Notice what David asks. He asks this thing. Psalm 42, verse 1, as the deer pants for the water brooks, so my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and see the face of God? When shall I come and see the face of God? Friends, do you have that passion, that enthusiasm, that desire, like David did, to say, God, as the deer pants for water, I pant for you. You are the one I want to come before. And we've been talking about this all feast, that what did God create us to do but to dwell with him? That we are the temple, we are the tabernacle, our lives are for him. What did we talk about? That our Father wants a relationship with us. That our Father is building a relationship with us. And how is he doing it? As we just talked about earlier, through Jesus. He made Jesus the way, the truth, and the life so that all who want to come can come through him, through the veil that is his flesh, that we can know who God is, to come into the most holy place. Now turn with me back to Psalms chapter 17. We're going to look at the same phrase again here in Psalms chapter 17. And notice here in Psalm 17, verse 15, this is a prayer of David. Here's how he ends it. He says, as for me, I will see your face in righteousness. I shall be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. Same phrase. That God was saying, three times a year, you shall see the face of God. Three times a year, you shall appear before me, is what David is saying here. I will appear before you. I will see your face in righteousness. I will be satisfied when I awake in your likeness. I mean, guys, what does that look like? What does that even look like? Notice with me in Psalms chapter 11, and just in verse 4, for the Lord, this is Psalm 11, verse 4, Yahweh is in his holy temple. Yahweh's throne is in heaven. His eyes behold, his eyelids test the sons of men. Yahweh tests the righteous, but the wicked and the one who loves violence, his soul hates. Upon the wicked he will rain coals, fire and brimstone, and a burning fire shall be the portion of their cup. He makes an end to rule and authority and power. But notice he says, for Yahweh is righteous. And when he sent his Savior, Jesus Christ, It was prophesied that he would come as a king that would bring peace and harmony in Jeremiah 23, verses 5 and 6. And what was the name of the Messiah? Yahweh our righteousness. Yahweh our righteousness. He made us righteous by himself. He who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God. And my friends, there, the power of this, the glory of God and the majesty, because you can't stop it. If you want it, you will receive it. If you go for him, you will have him. David's saying, how long till this day comes that I appear before you, that I see you, that I'm awake in your righteousness, that I'm awake in your likeness. And my friends, this message is too good to hold to yourselves. It has to go out. It has to go out as a proclamation of the goodness of God. Because, my friends, we are but flesh, and he is making us something not flesh. This body will go away. This body, get used to not having it. Because our lives were not meant to be in this body. It's like a baby wanting to stay in the womb. No, you got to get out of there. And we got to shed this body. There's something so much better for us that God has appointed, that we would be in his likeness. That we would be in his likeness. And so he says here again, for the Lord is righteous. Yahweh is righteous. He loves righteousness. His countenance beholds the upright. In other words, he sees their face. What did we just sing? Yahweh bless you. Yahweh keep you. Yahweh make his face shine upon you. It is what God has been wanting to bless you with. When he gave the promise and the blessing of that Aaronic blessing, he says, you're going to bless my people like this. Because what I want to bless my people with is I want to shine my face on you. I want you to see me. And when he told Moses, no, you're going to stand in the cleft. You can't see my face and live. But then he promises, no, you will see my face. You will see my face. Turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. Just love these verses. They're so powerful what God is doing. This is the ending that he is making. This is what he is bringing about. It's so beautiful that he has determined to do this, and there is no one who can stop him. 1 John chapter 3, verse 1, behold what manner the love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we should be called the children of God. The world does not know us because it did not know him. Do we just, again, think of the honor it is to be alive and made in God's image and likeness with a destiny to go from dust to glory? Who can stop the Lord Almighty? All of eternity lays before us. And what do we read in Romans? Not life nor death can it stop us. Not life nor death. Not persecution, not tribulation. Who can separate you from this love? See, God is saying, believe in what I've offered to you. It will happen. You have to believe to plant a seed in the ground that if you plant it, that God can bless it and bring forth an increase. You have to allow God to make the miracle. And so he says, work with me. This is the work. Believe. Will you believe? Because if you will believe, I can work the miracle in you. But you've got to let the seed come in. And you see, what is it that affects the offering that we give? It's how do we plant and how do we receive what God is wanting to plant within us? Do we say, plant it in? Yes, bring it, Lord. Or are we caught up in the cares of the world, like it talks about in Matthew 13? Are the cares of this life drowning out the growth that could be taking place because we're so concerned about stuff going on? What does it compare? What does it compare? The things of the world, what do they compare to this? And we have devourers that want to go around and get us caught up in the cares of this life. And if they can't get us with our lust and with vice and blowing a bunch of time watching television, sporting events, doing drugs, getting drunk, whatever it is that vice might be, say, oh, vice isn't working for you. You seem to be able to. How about persecution? How about I drop a hammer on you guys? How about I imprison you? How about I start cutting off body parts? How about I make it impossible for you to meet or do business? How about I put you to death and traumatize you with violence? Because what did Jesus say? The parable of the sower. Some falls on hard ground. It's not going in. Move along. Some go with tribulation. Move along. Some go with the cares of the life. But who is it that brings forth the blessing and the bounty? Some 30, some 60, some 100. The ground ready to receive it. And do you know that this is where God is saying, want me like David did. Want me like David did. A man after my own heart who says, as the deer pants for water, I'm panting for you, God. You are my portion. You are my hope. You are my everything. What does anything else matter? And God is always looking to just shatter the things in our lives that want to separate us from Him. It's like He's going to drop a hammer and say, bam! And I'm like, bring it! Oh, God, please break me in whatever way you need to that I may come to a deeper place of glory. Because, God, this life is what Scott showed. It's a little piece of dark rope. And the rope goes for eternity. And the heartaches and the hurts and all the things we go through. God has already showed what the end is. I'm going to take it all away from you. It's just not going to be remembered. Would you rather go for it? Play it safe. One foot in, one foot out. I say we just go for it. This plan is worth investing all your life into. And what you will receive is the happiness, the joy, and the sorrow of our God. See, Paul said, I count everything in my life lost for the excellency of Jesus Christ. He said, I just counted all this as dung. What did it mean that I was a Benjamite? What did it mean that I was physically of a tribe of Israel? What did it mean that I was zealous for the law if I didn't have the lawgiver? If I didn't know Him? If I had no acquaintance with Him? See, the big lie is that somehow studying and knowledge will get you to where you want to go. No, Paul is saying, don't you get it? The study and the knowledge, the revelation of the Word is to bring you to Him. It's always been to bring you to Him. Always. Because God wants you to come before Him. God wants you to be engaged with Him. God wants you to be planning and working with Him. And God wants to bless you that you have something of value to give. And so Paul said, so I count on all this loss for the excellency of the knowledge of you, that I may know Christ, that I may know the power of the resurrection of the dead, and that I may know the fellowship, have acquaintance with His sufferings. See, I can't promise you you won't suffer with Christ. In fact, I'm going to assure you, you will. But you need to know what that is and what it means. You have to have it in the context of like a man like Job who understood, I'm not cursing God. The Lord gives, the Lord takes away. But Job knew something better was coming. And what did he see? He said, God, I knew of you in the hearing of the ear, but now I see you. Now I see you. The revelations of life happen through faith. They're born out of humility, a yieldedness to God Himself. And as you will give your life passionately to God, He's saying, I'm right here for you. Don't you know it's my will to bless you in all your produce, in all your labor? I want to, because I want you to come bringing blessings. I want you to come. I'll give you the increase so you can do it. I will bless you so you can bless somebody else. But you've got to be engaged with Him to have it. You have to be working with Him to have it. The work is to believe in Him and to have faith in Him. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians chapter 3. And notice what the Apostle Paul here says in regard to the instruction and what has been given to us in 1 Corinthians chapter 3. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, notice with me in verse 5. Who then is Paul and who is Apollos, but ministers through whom you believed? As the Lord gave to each one, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. So then neither he who plants is anything nor he who waters, but God who gives the increase, the unstoppable God. And now he who plants and he who waters are one, and each one will receive his own reward according to his labor. Every man shall give as he is able according to the blessing of the Lord. What are we laboring for? The blessing of the Lord, so that we have much to give back. Some 30, some 60, some 100. For we are God's fellow workers. He wants us. He doesn't need us. He wants us. He's saying, come work with me. You are God's field. And he's doing it in us to create belief and fruit. You are God's building according to the grace of God, which was given to me as a wise master builder. I've laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. If anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. Because it will be revealed by fire, and the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. Do you not know that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him. For the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. We pass from death to life because, as Scott was preaching on yesterday, we accepted the message of Jesus Christ and we believed in him, our Father, that is, who sent Jesus. We believe and we pass from death to life. That is what I'm encouraging in you today, to remember that you are one that passes from death to life. And he says, now, the baptism of the Spirit is yours. You have the Spirit of Christ. But fire is still going to reveal what did you do with it. When Scott's saying we all come to the judgment seat, the things done in the body, good or bad, what did you do with it? Your salvation's in Christ, but what did you do with it? The world and the way the world tries to bring you to Christ, it's about coming to salvation. But God is saying, I brought you to salvation so you could be my kid and I could bless you so that you could bless others just like I do. Because what do we like to do as God's kids? Bless people. We love to bless those who curse us, right? That was very tepid. Like Scott was like, that was weak. Do we need a lap here, Josh? I mean, bless those who curse you, right? Love those who hate you. Pray for those who despitefully use you and persecute you, because now you'll be a kid of God. Because that's the way we do it in this family. Because our faith isn't in treating people like they treat us. It's in loving the person that's before us, because we recognize what it says in Genesis 1 when God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. And that whosoever would believe would not perish, but come to everlasting life. And that God is not willing that any would die, that all would come to repentance. That's why we pray, church. That's why we keep coming before God, because we desire and yearn for salvation for others like we do for our own selves. We need to pray more together. We need to get together more often. We need to pray for this community. We need God to be pouring out his Spirit, and we need to be sowing into the heavens, that we may reap a blessing on this earth of seeing many come to Christ. And that is what God wants us to do. He's saying, you've got this way, share this way. What are you going to build on your salvation? Wood, hay, and stubble? Is that how you want to spend your day? Wood, hay, and stubble building? Well, it's all going to get blown away. And you can think about your life and realize you are in a tabernacle. This tabernacle is going away. God is trying to bring permanency into your life. But what happens is going to be tried by fire. And either that fire will reveal a reward or the fire will burn away. And yes, if you come to Christ, you will be saved. But for those who reject Christ, that fire just burns you away. The judgment of fire, the baptism of fire comes to everyone. And the revelation of your life gets made manifest. He says, each one's work, verse 13, it's going to become clear. You're not hiding what you're doing. What are you doing for the Lord? Do you love Him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? Then let's endure to persevere. Let's go forward in faith and believing that He will build something better with us and in us, that we might be a blessing to Him and to somebody else. What an awesome thing. And so He says, it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test everyone's work of what sort it is. And anyone's work which he's built on it endures, he receives a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss. If you've been given that 40 acres that I talked about earlier this feast, and maybe you just planted the one, maybe the two, maybe the four, maybe you went for all 40. The thing is, but when you planted, what did you plant? Maybe you're inhabiting 1 acre or 2 acres. The question is, but what are you planting in it? You see, God says, you're my fellow worker. I gave you the seed. You got to plant it. You don't believe it, it's not going to produce anything. You can know about the seed, not do it. You can say, well, I'm a wheat farmer. I got a bunch of wheat seed in my barn. That's fabulous. But what if you never put it in the ground? And so often that happens. It's better to know a little of the seed and plant all of it than to say, I know all the seed and plant hardly any of it. Better to have the seed and know what it does and put it in the ground so it can produce the fruit than to say, I have all this knowledge. And where's the reflection and fruit? See, there's a co-worker relationship that God wants us to have with Him to bring forth the blessings that God wants in our lives. And Jesus will make it known. He will reveal it. Turn with me over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And notice this beginning where we left off earlier in verse 24. 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 24. Because it says, then comes the end. This is the last feast day we celebrate in this year. This is the end. What do we celebrate in the end? Then comes the end when He delivers the kingdom to God the Father. When He puts an end to all rule and all authority and power. For He must reign till He has put all enemies under His feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. For He has put all things under His feet. But when He says all things are put under Him, it's evident that He who put all things under Him is accepted. Now, when these things are made subject to Him, then the Son Himself will also be subject to Him who put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. Now, that sometimes reads like a tongue twister, right? He put things under Him, Him under Him. He's accepted when He put things under Him. But notice how beautiful this is. He says, for He, that is God our Father, put all things under His, that is Jesus' feet. When He says all things are put under Him, that is under Jesus, it's evident that He, the Father, who put all things under Him, Jesus, is accepted. Now, when all things are subject to Him, that is to Jesus, then the Son Himself will be subject to Him who put all things under Him, that God may be all in all. And when all things are made subject to Him, the Father, Jesus, and you and me will be subject to our Father, that God may be all in all. What is the ending about? What are the three offerings about? What is seeing God's face about? What is the resurrection into His likeness about? It's about Him being all in all. I want you to just notice the beauty of this, that God as we have celebrated in these feasts, the Sabbath and all the annual feasts, he's been saying, I give all the preeminence to my son, Jesus. He made all things. He saves all things. He reconciles all things. He puts the Spirit into those that come to him. He's the king. He's the high priest. But what is he doing with all this authority that God gave him? All of it has always been about him bringing forth the harvest. The winnowing fan is in his hand. He's going to gather the wheat into his barn. He's going to burn the chaff with unquenchable fire. The righteous are going to shine forth as the sun. He's going to give glory to his saints. And he is going to deliver to the Father. With the authority he had, he's going to deliver to the Father what God gave him the power to do. And the reality in the lives of those who are of Christ, Christ also gives power and authority to you who believe with gifts, with fruits, with talents, so that you have authority to act in the body of Christ and in the world to bring forth gifts and blessings and produce and fruit. This isn't about one person or two people or 100 people. This is about the church edifying itself in love. Everybody has a role. To each is given a gift of the Spirit that all come together to edify one another, that God would be all in all. See, it's not enough to say, well, hey, David and Stephanie and Scott and Carolyn do work. It's great that we do, but you know what's better? Everybody doing it. And when Stephanie starts thanking people, I'm looking around like, what a congregation. You totally blow the Pareto principle away, which is the 80-20 rule, right? 80% of the people do 20% of the work. 20% of the people do 80. You always want to be in all the work that God wants you to do. All of it. Don't go halfway with God. Be all in for the glory of the Lord. What is his likeness? What did he say? My Father has been working and I have been working. I have been working, and my Father's been working. That's what we do. We work for what is best. The end is God is bringing forth a harvest of believers who will stand before him and see his face and have fellowship with him forever. And the Son, who he gave authority to, doesn't hold on to it. He says, here you go, Father. The Father has made it his determined purpose that in all things Jesus would have the preeminence. So he says, I'm going to create all things through you. You're going to make everything, seen and unseen, principalities, powers, things in heaven, things below. I'm making it all through you. And I'm going to save everyone through you. And I'm going to bring all this about through you. And you are going to be the focus. And people will say, my Lord and my God. Do you remember what the blessing was to those who would say that, who didn't see him? Remember, Thomas is saying, I'll believe if I get to touch his side and see the nail prints. And Jesus let him do it. He said, no, bring it in. You said you want it, bring it in. But Jesus said, blessed are those who believe having not seen. My friends, do you realize what a blessing it is to know the Word of God and to have had the conviction from God that Jesus is alive? That we sing to him, we praise him. And what did Thomas say? My Lord and my God. And what does our Father want us to say? My Lord and my God. And what does our Lord and our God do? He says, all that I do with my authority and my power, I do it to bring glory and honor to my Father in heaven. My will is to do his will. My work is to do his work. My food is to do his will and bring this kingdom. I mean, just think of how beautiful this is. In 1 Corinthians 15, he says, he will deliver the kingdom after he's cleaned up the mess. Jesus Christ is the great carpenter. He comes upon the earth. He gets his hands dirty. He forms man from the dust of the ground. And he forms us from the dust of the ground. He gets dirty. He starts working. He's the potter. He's the carpenter, forming, shaping, working in our lives. You can't stop the fact that he's going to finish the work. And he's going to bring you to completion. and he's going to make it a reality in your life. You can't stop what he's doing. But he's like, it takes a mess, right, to make something gorgeous. You've got to get a little dirty. You're going to have some sawdust. You're going to have some messes. And it's messy. But through all this mess, God is working an eternal weight of glory that he is putting on those who will come and believe in him. And my friends, that's in you. And that's in all who believe and all who have ever believed to come before him. And Jesus is like, but I'm going to clean it all up. The mess has been made, but I'm going to wash. I'm going to clean. I'm going to heal. I'm going to make whole. I'm going to raise up. I'm going to bring them to you. I'm going to make a big mess, Father. And I'm going to let the mess go because I'm going to work something through that mess that is going to be so glorious. And then he's like, but now at the end, when it all comes to the finish, he's like, I clean up all my workspace. And I give it to you perfectly clean, wondrous, holy. Wow. Here you go, Dad. Three times in a year, your males will appear before you, Father. None are going to come empty-handed. They're going to give you back from the blessing that you gave them. And it's going to give you glory. It's going to give you honor and praise. I want to do a little reading to you, but I would ask that if you feel comfortable, as much as you can, just put out of your mind anything that you can see, close your eyes, and just listen to these words. And just try to embrace what this is, and I want you to try to create a little movie in your mind of what you see. And just listen to these words. So if you feel comfortable, go ahead and close your eyes. If you don't, that's fine. Just focus on these words. This is the revelation of Jesus, the one who came to deliver the kingdom to the Father. Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no more sea. And I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. And God himself will be with them and be their God. And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away. Then he who sat on the throne said, behold, I make all things new. And he said to me, write, for these words are true and faithful. And he said to me, it is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. I will give of the fountain of the water of life freely to him who thirsts. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Now in this Jerusalem, I saw no temple in it, for the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. The city had no need of the sun, nor of the moon to shine in it. The glory of God illuminated it. The Lamb is its light. And the nations of those who are saved shall walk in its light. And the kings of the earth bring their glory and honor into it. Its gate shall not be shut at all by day. There's no night there. And they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. But there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes an abomination or a lie, but only those who are written in the Lamb's book of life. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the middle of its streets and on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits, each tree yielding its fruit every month. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse. But the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. They shall see his face, and his name shall be on their foreheads. There shall be no night there. They need no lamp nor light of the sun, for the Lord God gives them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Bronte, if I could have you and your team come up. What will that be when the kings of the nations that are saved bring their glory and honor into his temple? And what will it be when his servants see his face and his name is on their foreheads together? What will that be for you? What will the reality of these words be? I just want to finish this with a song to ask you to contemplate that, to appreciate the greatness of an end of a story that at its very heart is the beginning of something so glorious, of something brand new, when that which seems to be over and done is actually just created the very new thing that will last forever and ever.
What it will be like when I walk by your side. I can only imagine what my eyes will see when your face is before me. I can only imagine.
Will I stand in your presence?
I can only imagine.